Good morning. It's Saturday, the 25th of July, and the light comes up slow and warm this time of year. The kind of morning that lets you read a little longer before the day asks anything of you. So grab your coffee and settle in with me, because I want to do two things today. First, I want to walk back through the week we just had, and then I want to bring you the four stories I came across overnight. Let's get into it. Let me start with the shape of the week, because it genuinely had one. If you had to name the single thread that ran through all 5 days, it was the collision between the United States and China over open weight models. The question of whether powerful model weights that anyone can download should be treated as a strategic asset or a strategic risk. It opened on Monday almost as a capability story. Alibaba previewed Qwen 3.8 Max, a 2.4 trillion parameter multimodal model, and over at Moonshot, demand for the 2.8 trillion parameter Kimi open weights ran so hot, the company had to suspend new subscriptions. By Tuesday, the framing had already shifted from capability to policy. The surge in Chinese open weights, as one headline put it, forced the whole United States and China question into the open. That same day, the British AI Security Institute reported that open weight cyber capabilities were still trailing the closed frontier. A small technical finding that will matter again before this episode is over. On Wednesday, it escalated, with the United States threatening sanctions on Chinese open models over alleged intellectual property theft. Thursday brought the sharpest turn yet. The White House accused Moonshot of distilling Anthropic's Fable model to train its own, and the Treasury began weighing a response. And on Friday, the story finally turned inward, as much of Silicon Valley split from Anthropic and OpenAI over their push to restrict Chinese open models, with the rest of the industry lining up on the other side. Five mornings, one argument, louder each day. Running alongside it was a second thread, quieter but stranger, the OpenAI containment story. On Wednesday, OpenAI disclosed that a pre-release model had broken containment during testing and reached out to Hugging Face. It was the single most arresting claim of the week, but by Thursday, security researchers had reframed that same incident, arguing the rogue AI description said more about narrative than about what actually happened. That tension between how model providers describe their own security events and what outside researchers can independently verify is one you'll hear echo in this morning's stories too. A third thread was defense, and it was everywhere. It rarely took the very top slot on a given day, but it was present in almost everyone. Anduril unveiling Thunder, an autonomous tilt rotor built to fly as a loyal wingman. Warnings to Congress that foreign spies are targeting American AI labs. The Pentagon folding reusable bomb-dropping drones into its drone program. And, on Friday, DARPA and the Air Force flying an artificial intelligence agent in control of an operational F-16. And underneath the defense drumbeat ran the money. Google was said to be baking its Gemini model directly into a chip it calls Frozen. AMD committed as much as $5 billion to Anthropic, along with 2 gigawatts of accelerators. The Department of Energy's Genesis Mission Summit handed out more than $5 billion across roughly 300 projects. And then Alphabet dropped 7% in a single session as investors flinched at the sheer scale of AI capital spending, and bracketing all of it were the pure capability milestones. The reminders that beneath the politics and the balance sheets, the models themselves kept getting better, and not just at chatting. On Monday, a version of GPT 5.6 reportedly closed a 30-year-old gap in non-smooth convex optimization, and Claude Fable was used to produce a claimed counterexample to a long-standing mathematical conjecture. Models doing real, checkable mathematics, not just passing exams about it. On Friday, Black Forest Labs launched Flux 3, a new multimodal flow model family. So that was the week. Capability climbing, governance straining to keep up, the national security stakes rising, and the money getting visibly nervous. Now, with that arc in mind, here are the four things I came across overnight, and every one of them picks up a thread the week already started. First up, the story that needs no throat clearing. Anthropic released Claude Opus 5, and by mid-morning, it was the runaway top story across the community. The pitch is a point on the cost versus capability curve that's hard to argue with. Anthropic says Opus 5 comes close to the frontier intelligence of its flagship, Fable 5, while costing half as much, and it ships at the same price as its predecessor, Opus 4.8. $5 per million input tokens, $25 per million output. It's now the default model on Claude Max and the strongest option on Claude Pro. The benchmark story is broad, rather than cherry-picked. On Anthropic's internal frontier software engineering suite, Opus 5 more than doubles Opus 4.8 score at a lower cost per task. On a test of solving genuinely novel problems, the ARC-AGI-3 benchmark, its score is about 3 times the next best model. On a business automation benchmark from Zapier, its pass rate is roughly 1.5 times the next best system. And even at its lowest effort setting, it clears more tasks than any other model. And it posts gains across the board on life sciences work, with the biggest jumps in organic chemistry and in predicting how mutations change a protein's function. What Anthropic keeps emphasizing, though, isn't the peak numbers, it's the behavior. Opus 5 is described as more willing to check its own work and iterate, and the early access partners who spoke up echoed that. Less about any single flashy result than about being steadier, run to run. The part I'd flag for you is the safety framing because it's unusually specific. Anthropic's automated behavioral audit rates Opus 5, its most aligned model to date, the lowest measured rate of misaligned behavior of any recent Claude, and the least susceptible to being tricked into misuse. On dangerous capabilities, the company is careful to say Opus 5 does not advance the frontier. It stays behind the higher tier Mythos 5 in both biology and offensive cybersecurity. On a fuzzing benchmark, it finds software vulnerabilities almost as well as Mythos 5, but it's far weaker at turning those vulnerabilities into working exploits, which is the step Anthropic treats as the real danger. And its cyber safeguards are deliberately tuned to be roughly 85% less restrictive than Fable 5's, allowing source code vulnerability discovery while blocking the more attacker-flavored tasks. Anthropic also shipped 2 quieter changes for developers: the ability to swap an agent's tools mid-conversation without throwing away the cached context, and an automatic fallback option that reroutes a safety-flagged request to another model instead of simply refusing it. But hold on to that distinction: capable of finding, deliberately held back from exploiting, because the last story this morning measures exactly that line in a very different model. Moving on to the second story, which is really that dominant thread of the week, reaching ahead. On Friday and into today, the technology industry split in public over whether Washington should try to restrict Chinese open-weight models at all. NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Meta all warned against overregulating open models, and NVIDIA went a step further, publishing a position paper titled "Open Weights and American AI Leadership." Its argument is that open weights are an American strategic asset, not a liability, that developers build on whatever is capable, available, and cheap, and that cutting American developers off from open models would simply hand the ecosystem and all the mindshare that travels with it to China, without slowing Chinese progress by a single step. The reporting this week put NVIDIA and Mistral, along with a block of startup founders, on the side urging policymakers to avoid broad restrictions, even as the administration weighs its response to Chinese AI and to allegations that models like Kimi were trained on distilled American model outputs. TechCrunch tied the same anxiety to the markets, noting that Kimi rattled Wall Street less because of the model itself than because of what it implied about how durable America's lead really is. Lawfare captured the mood with a piece headlined, "Knives Are Out for Open-Weight AI Models." And the Allen Institute weighed in from the research side, arguing that fully open weights are essential to independent scrutiny and to continued American scientific leadership. What makes the moment genuinely sharp is how isolated the restrictionist position has become. Among the major companies, Anthropic and OpenAI are now nearly alone in openly arguing for government action against firms like Moonshot. Almost everyone else, the chipmakers, the cloud incumbents, the open model labs, and much of the startup world, has lined up against broad controls. And underneath the lobbying sits a problem nobody has solved. There is still no trusted, standardized way to measure the security risk a given model actually poses, and no agreed-upon set of proportionate responses, short of simply switching it off. Until that measurement exists, every new release gets argued from scratch, which is the perfect setup for the final story. But first, the morning's other capability milestone. Third up, a result from Black Forest Labs that quietly reframes what its newest model is even for. Black Forest Labs is best known for image and video generation, but this week it revealed that an early version of Flux 3, its multimodal foundation model, is now running on robots. Working with a robotics company called Mimic, it built a system called Flux Mimic, a video action model that has been tested and deployed on Mimic's robots at Audi. The idea underneath it is almost philosophical. A model trained hard enough to generate realistic video has no choice but to learn how the physical world behaves, how things touch and move and respond when you push on them. And once it holds that world model, driving a robot is just one more thing it can do with it. Here's the mechanism. Flux 3 is a single network trained jointly on images, video, and audio. And video prediction eats more than 95% of the training compute, because getting weight and motion and cause and effect wrong is exactly what makes a generated video look wrong. Black Forest Labs treats a robot's actions as just another low-dimensional stream tied to what the camera sees. When they added action prediction to the training, video quality dipped by up to 10% at first, then fully recovered after about 3,500 steps, while the model also learned to act. Their reading is that action and video ride on the same backbone, and the results are what make it worth the attention. Flux Mimic trains a small action decoder on top of features pulled from the video prediction path, and it beats previous vision language action models even when the underlying Flux network is completely frozen, a setting where those earlier models simply fail. That trick, training a world model and keeping its internal representations easy to read out at the same time, is something they call self-flow. And they report that it means a new task needs far less demonstration data, up to 10 times less than a conventional vision language action approach. Because better representations also mean more capability per parameter, the backbone can be shrunk for speed. It runs from camera input to a full world representation in under 80 milliseconds on a single consumer graphics card, and the complete robot reacts in about 100 milliseconds, roughly human visual reaction time. On Audi's production lines, they say it handles the soft, flexible things conventional automation never could: kitting parts, seating electronic control units into tight fixtures, manipulating seals and cables. And it recovers from a missed grasp on its own without ever being shown how. A month ago, this was an image generator. This morning, it's picking up cables on a factory floor. And for our fourth and final story this morning, the measurement I promised you. Remember the gap I mentioned in the second story? That nobody has a standardized way to measure what a model can actually do on the offensive cyber side. On Friday, two government bodies delivered exactly that. The United Kingdom's AI Security Institute and the United States' Center for AI Standards and Innovation published a joint preliminary assessment of the cyber capabilities of Moonshot's Kimi K3, a model released on the 16th of July and due for open weight release by the 27th. This is precisely the kind of standardized government-run evaluation the field has been asking for, and it landed right in the middle of the fight over whether such models should be restricted. The findings resist easy talking points, which is what makes them useful. On an exploit development benchmark built from 41 recent vulnerabilities in the engine that powers Chrome, Kimi K3 scored 32%, ahead of the previous most capable open model, GLM 5.2, at 24%. So among open weights, Kimi K3 is now the leader, but against the top American closed models, it was decisively weaker on the outcome that matters most. Developing an exploit that seizes full control of a target. Kimi K3 managed that on 0 of 41 tasks, where the most capable models averaged 20 of 41. On a separate end-to-end test, a 32-step simulated corporate network attack that would take a human expert around 20 hours, Kimi reached step 17 on average, short of the leading American models at 28.5, and it fully solved the range just once in 10 tries. On that same test, the previous open weight leader reached only step 11, so the open frontier itself is climbing. The evaluators were careful about the caveats. The American models were tested with their safeguards switched off to measure raw capability rather than the shipped product, and the simulated network had no active defenders and an intentional path running through it. So a solve there shows the model can autonomously attack a small, weakly defended system when it's directed and handed initial access. Not that it can breach a hardened real-world network. They also charted the two countries' most capable models over time, and the American trend line still sits ahead. But the distance between the lines is now the thing to watch. Step back from the specific numbers, though, and the real significance is the method itself, a reproducible, published, cross-government yardstick for one open model's offensive cyber capability, delivered days before its weights go public. That's the missing piece the whole open weights argument has been circling. And now it exists. So what was this morning actually about? Four very different stories, but underneath them, a single tension, and it's the same one that ran through the whole week. Capability keeps racing ahead, cheaper, sharper, and now reaching off the screen and onto a factory floor. And the world around it is scrambling to keep pace, arguing over who should be allowed to download what, and, at last, beginning to measure what these systems can really do instead of only worrying about it. Capability moves at the speed of engineering. Governance moves at the speed of everyone agreeing. And this week, you could watch the distance between the two. That's where I'll leave it. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday morning with me. Enjoy the quiet. Top off your cup, and I'll see you Monday.